Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I'm so glad to have you on this journey with us. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we're going to continue my series called Walking Through the Proverbs, Learning to Live Skillfully. And I don't know about you, but if I have a choice between living skillfully and living foolishly, I want to live skillfully. You know, when you examine the record that Solomon left us, when you read the Proverbs carefully, he says there are two very clear promises. The first is that wisdom and discipline can be acquired. Now, doesn't that give you hope? Aren't you excited to hear that? Because no matter how foolish you or I have been, and we've all been foolish at some time or the other, all of us fall short, all of us make mistakes, we all have feet of clay, we all have shortcomings, we all make foolish decisions with money at some point in our life. But they don't have to be fatal. They don't have to be terminal. And we can acquire a disciplined life. And now, that word is so frightening to many people because it sounds out of reach. It sounds like it's going to be difficult. And we may think we could never achieve it. But the Proverbs give us the promise that if we apply God's truth to our life, that we can acquire the skills necessary to live a disciplined and prudent life. But the Proverbs also make a second promise, and it's the inversion of the first one. That is, there's a terrible penalty for living a foolish life with a lack of discipline. Now, in this series that we're continuing today, I've already given you the first five wisdom skills found in the book of Proverbs. The first one is to be a listener. Learn to listen. The word listen is used throughout the scripture, and especially in the book of Proverbs, when Solomon tells us that we should learn to listen, to seek advice, to desire wisdom. Isn't that encouraging to think that there is actually a simple formula for acquiring wisdom, and that's to listen? The second is to be a continual learner, to be curious, to never stop learning. And wisdom skill number three is to only make financial commitments that you can keep. Doesn't that sound simple as well? But it's amazing how many people struggle with that one. The fourth is to save from what you have. And the fifth is to avoid corruption and deception. And today we're going to go through the wisdom skills number six and number seven. I hope you'll stay tuned. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're walking through the Proverbs. We'll be right back.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area. Or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're walking through the Proverbs together. We're learning to live skillfully. If you missed some of the earlier broadcast, I have taught in this series that skill number one is to learn to listen, to seek advice, to desire wisdom. Skill number two is to be a continual learner, to be curious, to never stop learning. We have a poster in our home that says, "Reading is to the mind what exercise is to the body." We always want to learn. We want to grow. And in our house, we continually read. We're always seeking to improve our knowledge. And wisdom skill number three is to only make financial commitments that you can keep. Doesn't that sound simple as well? But it's amazing how many people struggle with that one, that we make commitments that put us in stress and bondage and keep us awake at night. Here's wisdom skill number 4, save from whatever you have. It doesn't matter how much income you have, the discipline to save from whatever you have is a skill. It's a behavior that will keep you on solid ground, and it will prevent so many problems in your life. And here's wisdom skill number 5, to avoid corruption and deception of every kind, especially when it comes to money. And today we're going to talk about wisdom skill number 6, and that is to be able to see through the deception of money. Now, that sounds so easy, but let me ask you a question, and it will help you to determine exactly why Solomon emphasized this. If you have a choice right now between being rich or being wise, what would you choose? Let me present it to you like this. If I said this afternoon UPS is going to deliver a package to your door, and in that package either is going to be the resources and the money to make you incredibly rich, or in that package you're going to open it up and it's going to be the resources and the wisdom to make you incredibly wise, which package do you want delivered? Do you see how hard that is? Do you see how deceptive it is? Because most of you are saying, well, I don't want to make that choice. I want both. I want both of those packages to come to my doorstep because I can handle it. But the fact is that money has a quality about it that deceives us. You know, oftentimes the Lord wants us to answer that question in our own heart. What do you really want? You know, we live our Christian experience many times saying to the Lord, what do you want from me, Lord? What do you want from me? Well, there are incidents in the scripture where the Lord turns that question around. And do you know who he turned it around with? Solomon. Solomon was one in the scripture where you can read the account. The Lord came to him and said, what do you want? Have you ever honestly answered that question before the Lord? Lord, this is what I want. Now, the reason Solomon was blessed with so much wisdom was because he made the right choice. He answered that question. He filled in the blank. He didn't say that he wanted riches or power or fame. He didn't even want the destruction of his enemies. He wanted wisdom so that he could fulfill God's purposes. And so he shares his wisdom with us. He gives us his thoughts on how to make that choice. And in Proverbs 8:10, he says, choose my instruction, talking about the Lord's instruction, choose the Lord's instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies. And listen to this, nothing you desire can compare with her. So if UPS is going to deliver that box to your doorstep today, he answers the question, which one to choose. Ask the Lord to put on your doorstep knowledge and wisdom, because if the box contains silver, gold, and rubies, and that's what you ultimately desired in life, Solomon is telling you, you would have made the wrong choice. So what do you desire right now? And be honest. We're in the middle of the Great Recession. And what do you desire? If you desire the things that God would have for you to desire, the desire for knowledge and wisdom from him, he can deliver that to you. You know, last week at church, I taught the junior high boys class, and the question was asked, what makes someone popular in your school? And it was interesting. We wrote all the answers down on the board. Here are some of their answers. Having the latest telephone, having the latest mobile phone, not just a mobile phone, having the latest and greatest mobile phone, having an iPod, having the coolest shoes on the market, having the best clothes, all the name brand clothes, the designer clothes, having a car. These are junior high boys. Being outstanding in sports. Those were the ingredients that cause other people to be popular, because there's a huge amount of pressure in junior high to be accepted. Not one boy mentioned the quality that makes somebody popular and really deeply respected in junior high is wisdom. In fact, it's almost the inverse in junior high, where the crazier you are and the more outlandish you are, the more validated you seem to be. But as you begin to look at the life of Solomon, He was actually a very young man at the time he made this remarkable choice. And I believe that if today you can make that same choice in your own heart, you will learn to live skillfully and begin to experience peace and joy and even happiness in your life. You know, I saw a study recently by psychologist and Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman, and he says millions of dollars won't buy you happiness. He said, but in fact, a job that pays up to $60,000 a year actually does help. His study showed that happiness levels increase up to only $60,000 a year, but above that, it's a flat line, meaning there's no correlation between an increase in your income and an increase in your happiness. It's interesting that $60,000 a year is actually the midpoint for income in American families. Half the people in this country make less than that, half make more than that. But it's actually a reachable income for most two-income couples, and the vast majority of college graduates can earn that by themselves on a single income. But it will not increase your happiness. He said, as long as we have our basic needs met, that our happiness actually increases more based upon who we spend time with and how we learn to interact with other people. Isn't that fascinating? His study is validating what the Scripture has already told us about our ability to be content with whatever we have, and that riches come from our relationships, not from money. Well, I hope that information is encouraging to you. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue a walk through the Proverbs. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley.
Of struggling to pay your bills every month? Not sure where your money's going? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't always to make more money. Often it's learning to manage what God has already given you. And Crown Financial Ministries has something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes is one of the most advanced online money management systems ever. It will help you easily create a home budget online in a secure environment and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you how much you have left to spend in any budget category. You'll have access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're walking through the Proverbs, learning to live skillfully, and we're talking about wisdom skill number 6, which is learning to see through the deception of money. Solomon said that we're to choose instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. And when we left off, I shared some of the research from a recent study by a psychologist who he believes it only takes $60,000 a year to make a person happy, and anything over and above that begins to make people unhappy. Well, I don't know if you caught the other story that was in the news just recently, but there was a fascinating story about an Austrian millionaire named Karl Rabider who is giving away every single penny of his $5 million fortune, and here's why. He realized that his riches were actually making him unhappy. And if you read the story, it's just fascinating. He's very, very serious about it. He's not only selling both of his homes, he's selling all of his furniture, he's selling his collection of 6 gliders and his luxury Audi A8. He's actually selling all of his possessions. And here's part of the interview. He says, my idea is to have nothing left, absolutely nothing. He told the Daily Telegraph, money is counterproductive. It prevents happiness to come. He says, for a long time, I believed that more wealth and luxury automatically meant more happiness. He said, I come from a very poor family where the rules were to work, work, work to achieve more material things, and I applied this for many years. Doesn't that sound familiar? He said, but over time, I had another conflicting feeling. He says, more and more I heard these words, stop what you're doing now. All this luxury and consumerism, start your real life. I had the feeling I was working as a slave for things that I did not even wish for or need. I have the feeling that there are a lot of other people doing the same thing. Well, isn't he right? And I love his insight that it was time to start his real life. He goes on to say he simply was never brave enough to give away all the trappings of his comfortable existence. But he and his wife had a realization that something was wrong on a 3-week trip to the Hawaiian Islands. He goes on to say that it was the biggest shock in my life when I realized just how horrible, soulless, and without feeling this 5-star lifestyle really is. In those 3 weeks, we spent all the money you could possibly spend, but in all that time we had the feeling we hadn't met a single real person. We were all just actors. The staff played the role of being friendly, and the guest played the role of being important, but nobody was real. And listen to this. He said, I realized that if I didn't give it away now, I wouldn't do it for the rest of my life. And so he's giving all of his money to a microcredit charity, which offers small loans to the poor in Latin America. Isn't that a fascinating story? Now, on the one hand, this man clearly sees through the deception of wealth. He recognized that it was doing nothing to increase his happiness in life, and he wanted to begin his real life. But I want to make this point, because wisdom is no respecter of income. May I repeat that? Wisdom is no respecter of income. You can actually be wise with a very little, and you can actually be wise with a lot. You see, the fallacy of this man's story is that he could actually have an abundance of money and still have happiness and wisdom. Because it's not whether you have money or don't have money that prevents you from seeing through the deception. In fact, I've known some poor people who remain deceived by money, and they orient their lives around acquiring more, even if they have nothing. So it can happen to either side of the ledger. And so the most important decision is not how much money you actually have, but to see that it's not ever going to give you happiness or bring you wisdom, and to turn to the Lord and to seek wisdom with what you already have. That's wisdom skill number 6. Now here's wisdom skill number 7. Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. Do you realize when you seek wisdom, you begin to hate your own pride, your own arrogance, your own evil behavior, and your own perverse speech? It is so easy to become self-righteous, and to think we're wise by condemning pride and arrogance in others. It's so easy to see evil behavior and perverse speech in somebody else. We're very guilty of becoming judgmental when all we can see is everybody else's problems. But you're not growing in godly wisdom until you're able to see it in yourself. You're able to see that the world has suddenly started to revolve around you and your needs. Now, here's what's so liberating about this wisdom skill. When you're able to recognize your own pride and arrogance, you're going to become free of that preoccupation with one of two things, either the preoccupation of what you do not have and what you're longing to have to try to feel validated or significant in life, or the preoccupation of what you do have and being controlled by things and allowing the acquisition and maintenance of things to be the thrust of how you use your life. It's a major breakthrough to get free of that and to experience the wisdom of God, whether you have much or little. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. I've got a wonderful story I want to share with you. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Want to use your home computer to help you manage your money God's way? Well, all you need is Crown Money Map Financial Software from Crown Financial Ministries. With Crown Money Map Financial Software, you can create a realistic spending plan and use a virtual envelope system to follow daily. And since it's based on the Crown Money Map, the software will help you build up your emergency fund, pay off debts, create balanced budgets, manage investments, and complete other steps that'll move you forward on your financial journey. Crown Money Map Financial Software is loaded with features to make living on a spending plan easy and secure, including the ability to import transactions from your bank so you don't have to enter them individually. Crown Money Map Financial Software is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. For specific system requirements or for a free trial version, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976 for more information. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're continuing in the series of walking through the Proverbs, learning to live skillfully. And I said in the earlier part of the program that wisdom skill number 7 is learning to recognize and to hate your very own pride and arrogance, your own evil behavior, and your own perverse speech, to learning to control what comes out of your mouth. And there's tremendous freedom in getting over the preoccupation with self, what I have or don't have. Years ago, when we were living in Dallas, Texas, I was watching the evening news and I saw a story that I've never been able to forget. It still sticks out in my mind, every single frame of this story. But here's what happened. In the shadows of the downtown growth, there were still a few houses around the downtown expansion of the city. And these were sort of run-down older homes. And the city government had condemned some of those houses to be bulldozed. But the reason the story got reported is that the government had incorrectly condemned and bulldozed a house that someone was living in. So the homeowner happened to be at work when the bulldozers came and leveled their house to the ground. So here the news reporters were standing in the front yard when this single mom came home to find not only was her home destroyed, but everything that was in it, everything she owned, was gone. And the news reporters were waiting on her. And here is this terrible scene of a helpless single mother with everything she owned right before her eyes had been destroyed and taken away from her. Now, the journalist put the microphone in her face and said, "What do you think? Your home is gone. What are you going to do?" Now, what would you say? What words would come out of your mouth? I was sitting on the edge of my seat thinking we were going to hear her talk about contacting her lawyer before the sun went down. And in this very humble and gentle way, she said, no, I'm not going to sue anybody. This was just a mistake. Now, the Lord knows my needs, and I'm going to trust the Lord to supply my needs. When that woman said that, the first thing I wanted to do is to find her and to give her a hug and to thank her for being an honest and genuine person of faith, a humble, wise servant of the Lord who wasn't the least bit worried that she had lost all of her worldly possessions. You know, our problems today in this country, I don't think they're economic. We're outrageously wealthy, but I think we've got a wisdom problem. I think we're becoming foolish over things, and we need a revival of people turning to God for His wisdom and learning to love Him more than things. Well, thanks for listening today. I hope you've been encouraged. And if you have any questions for me, just go to crown.org/radio, and in the upper right corner, you'll see a button that says Ask Chuck. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have on this journey. Well, you've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.